Attendance 100 tonight. Amen. Lord, our sickness, that's good. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. Taking our time as we're going through this little book. Remember, I said it can test your salvation. If anybody wants to find out if they're saved or not, all they got to do is read this book. It'll tell you whether you're saved or not. And this book that I'm talking about is 1 John. If you want to read this book, it's called the Bible. So we praise the name of Jesus this hour. Tonight, in these verses, I titled this message, Answer for a Troubled Heart. The Answer for a Troubled Heart. Let's read these verses to start with. The Answer for a Troubled Heart. Verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the precious word. Lord, for the living word of God. We just want to thank you this day that we can go to it any time that we need to. Father, it's afresh, it's anew, all over again. We thank you what you're doing here at this place called Pleasant Hill, how you're working through your people. And Father, we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for the mercy and grace. Father, this just this past week and even this day, God, that we have received from you. We thank you, Lord, for life, health, and strength that you give us each day. And Father, we know it's a gift from God. And we thank you, Lord, how precious it is. Father, there's so many that we have prayed for this hour. And we just thank you for the names that the people has lifted up to you. And Father, there's so many in our prayer box. And Lord, those are lost of loved ones. And Father, we know there will be a reunion day again. And we want to thank you, Lord, for encouraging our hearts this night through your word of God and through the Spirit of God, Lord, that we know, God, that you're alive and well. And we thank you, Lord, that we serve a living Savior. Again, we want to thank you and praise your precious name this hour. And all this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Answer for a troubled heart. You know, we need confidence in living, but only God can give us this confidence. Are y'all aware that we are living in a very troubled world? And people trying desperately to seek or find something that will kind of smooth the turmoil and the anguish that we're having in our hearts. We are living in a very, very dangerous time. But John chapter 4 and verse 27 says, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace he says that I leave with you, the peace that I give you some peace that this world cannot give you. We need to have this confidence that is supernatural peace that comes in our life because of results of knowing and being in relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. As Christians, born again, we ought to have confidence that Christ Jesus always helps us in a time of need and gives us this confidence we need. But sometimes we don't have this confidence because we have so many different areas, you know, that accuses us and condemns us in so many different areas. One of those areas you know of that we do sin, do we not, as Christians? We're not perfect and all of us fail and sometimes we sin. Our own sin that comes into my life and comes into your life, sometimes, you know, through our failures that we find that they condemn us, our own sins. But then, you know, we ask God, 1 John 1 and 9, and we confess our sin. He is faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then other times we have old Satan himself. Satan, he's the accuser of the brother, is he not? And we find that he tries to steal our confidence that we have in God by pointing his finger and accusing us so many times. And he said, now you are a Christian. You joined that church. You've been baptized. You saved. You ain't worthy to be called a Christian. You a Christian? The devil ever told y'all that? Look at your life. And you call yourself a Christian. You know what he does? He causes guilt. And for us to feel unworthy. And we lose our confidence in Christ as a Christian. That's the devil's job. That's what he's going to do. And he's very good at it, is he not? And then we have the world. This old world society. This old world without God. Puts us down so many times. And this world will say, you bunch of fools. Look at a bunch of fools out there on Wednesday night at a church. You fools, you get up on Sunday morning, you could be laying around or going down to the beach or up in the mountains or having a good time. You out there at Sunday school, church on Sunday. Look what you're missing out on. Look at your neighbor next door. Look what they get to do on Sunday. And look what you're doing. This old world, I'm going to tell you, put you down and try to steal away and take away your confidence that we have in God, what God gives us. But now these verses are not talking about the sins that comes in our life that accuses us and puts us down. And it's not talking about the devil that accuses us. And it's not even talking about how the world puts us down. But it's talking about our own heart. Our inner being that sometimes puts us down and steals away that peace we have in our heart. And it accuses us. Our own heart, it comes from there within. Do you ever have that problem? And it causes us sometimes to lose the peace and lose the joy and lose the confidence that we all need and have in life. But God wants to come into your life in a time like this and troubles we have in your life and have a fresh newness of God's presence in your life and giving you confidence for victory over all the accusers, no matter what they be. If it's on your own heart, if it's sin or it's Satan or it's world or your own heart, God wants to come in afresh and give you fresh anewing of his presence in your life. But we're going to keep it to our own heart. If you recover now from your own heart, and we'll try to stay with this tonight. If you recover from that accusing heart that sometimes we have, and I'll show you how we have it in just a moment, many, many different areas, there's some things we must do. One thing must appreciate of the love of God. Remember, keep in mind, no matter what's accusing you and what's trying to steal your peace and your joy, all remember these three things works in all these areas, but especially that we're dealing with tonight our own heart when we're troubled by our own heart. Appreciation of the love of God. The appreciation of the love of God. Sometimes our own heart condemns us, and we don't feel good about ourselves sometimes. And sometimes we just don't feel good and feel unworthy of what God's doing in your life from time to time. You feel like sometimes that you're a failure in the Christian life. And you're just not doing everything you should do and you don't have the ability to do. I've been that way a long time and this was a good sermon to me because God preached it to me first. I've never felt that I really done a good job preaching and pastoring a church. I always felt like there was somebody can do a better job than me. I do what I do because God's called me to do what I do. But I always felt like, God, there's so many people out there could do such a better job than me. Now let me ask you, Sunday school teachers, have you ever felt that way? You ever felt that way, Sunday school teachers? That they surely there's some more teachers at Pleasant Hill can do a better job than me. Well, let me bring it a little bit closer to you. We have a lot of people that sings. Sing special, sing songs. Have you ever felt like that, singers? That somebody else could sing better than me and do a better job than me? Or whatever that God's called you to do. There's somebody could do a better job than me, and I wish God would let them do it. You know what that's called? That old accusing heart of your own self. Because you're very, very, very special to God. Very special. God has called you to do something that nobody else can do. And remember now, when this happens, and it happens to me, and it happens to you, and it will continuously happen to us, especially with our heart. And even tonight, I just believe that somebody could do a better job than me. But that's that old accusing heart. When this happens, you just got to remember, you got to appreciate of the love of God. Because sometimes if we have this same feeling, we don't feel good as a parent, as a mother and father. Sometimes if you feel like you have failed and you really didn't do the right job that you ought to have done for your children, and sometimes you feel like a failure. Sometimes, husband, do you really feel like you hadn't lived up to what you should live up to your wife? Wife, do you feel like sometimes you just hadn't lived up to it, that what you should be to your husband? That's that old accusing heart. And what our heart do, it'll pile guilt and accuse our own self. That's what these verses is talk about when this happens. You got to remember that you got to appreciate the love of God, that God loved you so much. Our own heart begins to rob us of our self-confidence. Our self-confidence that God wants us to have. I'm talking to myself, you know. I'm talking to my own self. As I said, I want someone else to preach. I want somebody else to pastor. I just believe they could do a better job than me. And I know that you've had those same feelings as a Christian in many areas of your life. That old accusing heart. And what it does, it robs us of our self-confidence, what God's called us to do. No one else can do what God's called me to do. Now, we know that we make mistakes, but God says, I called you to do what I called you to do. God wants you to have a new, when this happens to us, and it happens to me a lot of times, you feel like we're so unworthy. Now, especially when you stand up and you're in leadership position, leaders, teachers, deacons, and whatever it might be, song leaders, oral songers, we just feel like we're so unworthy to stand up before and be in leadership position. When this happens, we got to appreciate the love of God, that God loved us and called us. And we appreciate this love. Verse 20 said, if a heart condemns you, then it says, you know what? Then God is greater than your heart. When this happens to me, I got to realize what the Word of God says. Remember, always, when we get in trouble, we go to the Word of God. We go to the Word of God. Well, it's the same way whenever sometime when Satan's accusing you for what you've done. Are you really saved? And do and act and live like you do, and you really saved? You see, he accused you. You know what the answer to that is? Go to the Word of God. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. Have you invited him into your heart? Yes. Do you believe what he said he'd do? He'd save you if you asked him? Yes. That's the Word of God. Well, that's all you can do. You go to the Word of God. But the same thing is true. If we could just get this down, if I could just understand this, if I could just do this myself. You see, we all in this boat together, aren't we? If I could understand, when I feel like I want to resign every Monday. Because I know there's somebody can lead this church better than me, and somebody can preach better than me, and somebody can do a better job than me. But God's called me right here, right now. And I got to understand, it says, if my heart condemns you, it says God's greater than your heart. God's greater than what my heart condemns me. God's greater. We do understand that. Remember, the love of God is greater than any condemnation that comes against us, no matter it's the world, or sin, or Satan, or our own heart. God is greater than anything that condemns us as a child of God. There's no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. Whew. Man, that feels good, don't it? God is greater. Now, Psalms 103, verses 10 and 11 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewards us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. It says, you know what, he don't deal with us with our sins according to our sins. He deals with us according to His mercy. Whew. Man, am I glad of that. Not according to my sins or my iniquity, but by account of His mercy. And I call His mercy is the way God deals with me. Even if my heart accuses me, God deals with me with His mercy. And they're high, so high, I can't even understand it. I can't even understand it. But I know that I'm special because God said I'm special. No one else can do what God's called you to do. Hebrews 4:16 also says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in a time of needs. When we get accused, no matter what it be, especially our heart, let us come to the throne of God. It says bold. That means, you know, confidence. Not that we can boldly walk up to God, hey, God, I'm here again. No, that we come in confidence. I come to God in prayer. I come to God when I'm being accused. I come to God when my heart's accusing me. It says boldly we can come with confidence that God says His mercy and His grace is higher than my ways, higher than my ideas, higher than my thoughts. And He deals with me with His mercy. God loves us and calls us and chose us to do something, each one of us. Bible says God came not to call the righteous but the sinners to repentance. The Bible also says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God. Remember when this happens, appreciate the love of God. Really, people, what else do you have besides the love of God? What else do you have besides the love of God? It's so high. It's so high. Verse 21 that I have done read this. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. We got confidence towards God. When our heart condemns us, you know what? We appreciate afresh and anew the love of God begins all over in our life again. New confidence to live. See, just like tonight, I don't know how you felt when you come and what are you feeling now, but I can tell you, you walk out of this building tonight, and me too, a fresh anewing of God's love. No matter what I've done, how I've acted, but a fresh renewing of the appreciation of God's love all over again. See, it don't matter what you've done today and how you failed and what you've done, how you acted, what's accused you and what haven't accused you, but not to appreciate a fresh love of God all over again. And I'm going to tell you what, that wipes it out because He don't deal with us on account of our iniquities, but you see, because of His mercy. He deals with us. Brings us to a new confidence in our living. Now we can live better the rest of the day than knowing this. There must be an appreciation of the love of God, but there must be appropriation of the power of God to do this. The power of God, it needs to be through practice and it needs to be through prayer that we have this appropriation of the power of God. The practice. What do we do to have the appropriate the power that we need to have this confidence? Well, to start with, we need to practice the things that God's commanded us to do. That's the practice to have this power that we need whenever we get accused and feel down and bad about ourselves, and because we know that God's commanded us to do some things, what we need to do. One thing He's commanded you to do is read the Word of God. See, we're commanded to read the Scriptures. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is pleasing to Jesus whenever we read the Word of God. How I thank God so many times for reading the Word of God and read the Word of God. You know why? Because it convicts me. Have you ever thanked God for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God? Where and how would we act and how would we do if it weren't for the convicting power of the Word of God through the Spirit of God in our life? We ain't nothing special ourselves. It's just what Christ is doing in us and for us and through us. It's all of Jesus. It ain't you. It ain't you. It ain't me. But thank God. The power. We need this power now. The power to be free from this guilt of the conscience that we have. And all this begins with obedience. Obedience to what God has already said for us to do as children of God. If he's told you to do something, you need to do it. Amen? If he's told you to do something, you need to do it. That's what the Word of God is. Now, if you're going to have appropriate the power of God, you're going to have to do this by practice. And by practice, you're going to have to do what God's already told you to do. To start with, he's told you to read. He's told you to pray. And what else he's told you to do, I don't know what else he's told you to do, except I know that you need to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the capacity and the area that he's called you. If you want this power, that's what you're going to have to do. But you see, we have it also by prayer. The power through prayer. Verse 22, whatsoever we've asked, we receive of him. The power of prayer. Appropriation of the power of God. Matthew 7 and 7:8 says, ask and you shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You asked. You ever felt like you were bothering God when you pray and asking for something? God, you busy up there. I sure would like to ask you something, but I know you're so busy, you know, and it sounds so little, you know. I don't think I want to talk to you about this. You ever thought about that? God just too busy to listen to you? You parents, you ever been too busy that you want to listen to that little baby? And it says daddy or mama? I'm telling you. Or how about you grandparents? When they said dad, dad, or mom, mom, grandma, or whatever they want to say. Are you too busy? No, you'll be in that ear. What you'll do? Well, God loves us more than you love your own family. And he wants to hear from us more than, you know what, that we really want to hear from our children or our grandchildren. Ask those things are pleasing to him. God gives us commands. But also in the Bible, he don't give us everything in our life not laid out in a command. There's some spiritual principles in the Word of God. And there's test. There's test. There's a lot of things in our life, and there's tests. There's spiritual principles, and there's a lot of things that says, thou shalt not do. There's a lot of things that it don't say, thou shalt not do in our everyday life. God couldn't cover all of them. We couldn't pick up the book and tote it if he put all thou shalt nots and then thou shalt do. We couldn't tote the book. But what God has done for us is give us some spiritual principles. And those areas that we say, you know, thou shalt not. And you show me where it says thou shalt this and thou shalt not. Show me these areas. Well, if you read the Bible, you'll find out where they're at. It might not say thou shalt not, but you'll find out there's some spiritual principles. And you'll find out if they're pleasing to God or not. I can mention a few tonight, but I won't. Some people think I'm picking on them. But this whole area that people have some, they call gray area. They don't know what's right or wrong. I can tell you what, you, if you're a child of God, if you ask yourself, will this please Jesus, this action I'm fixing to do? Will this please Jesus? You'll find out whether it's right or wrong or not, because he'll let you know. Just ask him. This that I'm doing, am I doing this? Is this pleasing Jesus? This action is as well pleasing to Jesus. Remember now, by practicing prayer and the things he told us to do, think about this. We have confidence in this living now. If we do what God has told us to do by practicing by prayer. And then when we affirm, the Spirit of God lives in us, the third thing. After we have this power, after we appreciate the Word of God, after we have this power, we must then be affirmed that the Spirit of God lives in our heart to start with. Verse 22 and 23 that I read. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandments. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. To start with, we got to affirm the Spirit of God lives in you. You got to affirm that. You got to know that. You'll never have confidence. You'll never have confidence you go into heaven. You won't have confidence you're saved. You won't have confidence to live the Christian life until you know. Affirm what God says in his word, that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, dwells in you. Every one of us tonight, if you say tonight, the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's the dwelling place. It says abide. That word abide means to live in. It means the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Remember what it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will have supper with him, and he with me." If you'll just hear that knock of that Holy Spirit and open that door, salvation starts right then. And when he comes in, supper, he abides. He stays there. People's not fulfilling the command of God, they will not have the assurance of their salvation. They will not have the assurance of their salvation. That is the Bible. 1 John 4 and 13 says, "Hereby we that know that he dwells in him, and he because he have given us of his Spirit." He has given us the Spirit. Romans 8 and 9 also says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." You know what that means? If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're lost. You're lost. Anybody don't have the Spirit of God living in them are lost. This is the Word of God. This is not my word. Family member, loved one, if they don't have the Spirit of God living in them, little Jesus inside of them, they're lost. And I tell you, if they got the Spirit of God living in them, it won't lay dormant for 40 years neither. There will be a change because it got another nature, and it calls them wanting to do what God says for them to do. Of course, we know we all don't do everything God tells us to do. But it says, the witness within our spirit. Do you know? I ask this a lot. If you die, do you know you'd go to heaven? You know, a lot of people can't answer that. Do you know? Do you hear the voice of Jesus Christ? The inner spirit, to know the inner spirit lives within you, and the inner spirit, to hear the voice of Jesus. I was reading even today over in Palestine, where they still have herdsmen that have a sheep. They have a lot of herdsmen still over this day, and they walk out and they stay with the sheep day and night. They have herdsmen, and I was reading where they, several different herdsmen, maybe hundreds or so sheep, each one of them have, and they come down to a water hole and they water their sheep all at the same time, and all those sheep gets the mingle and mix and all in there together. And I read, and they said, how in the world they gonna ever get all of them separated and back to the right shepherd and the right flock? They said they have a horn to blow. They have a horn, and every one of those horns have a different sound. Whenever that shepherd gets ready to leave, he just walks up, whoo, and every one of his sheep, they go to following him. Every one of them. You know why? Because they know the sound of that horn of that shepherd. Jesus Christ says, my sheep, what did he say? Knows me. They hear my voice. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They hear the voice of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people say they're saved. They ain't hearing nothing. A lot of people claim to know Jesus Christ. They don't hear anything. Jesus says, they hear my voice, and they follow me. Do you have confidence now to go out and live for Jesus Christ as a child of God? Buddy, I want to tell you what, we are not none of us perfect. And they ain't none of us can live the Christian life, not near one of us. But Jesus Christ gets in us, lives through us. And what we cannot do, he does through us. It's him that do it. For any good thing that any of us ever does in the name of Jesus Christ is because what he's done through us. It's certainly not any of us, our old flesh. But I tell you what, appreciate the love of God whenever you get accused. Appropriate the power of God, and you affirm that the Spirit of God lives in your heart. And I tell you what, that'll take care of a lot of battles in your life. Whew. I'm going to tell you what, that was good to me. That was good to me. He said, quit moaning and groaning and go on and do what I told you to do. That's what he told us to do. Yeah, you may think somebody else would do something better. But they can't nobody do nothing better than what you can do, because I called you to do just exactly that. And everything that God's called us to do, God give us the ability to do it. Because I know, I said, Lord, I don't have no ability. He said, I know you didn't. That's the reason I called you. And every one of us, he called you too. He didn't call you because you had the ability to live the Christian life, did he? He called you as a nobody to make you a somebody, that you might go tell anybody about this man named Jesus. That's what it's all about. Be praying for those people on our prayer list, those loss of loved ones, the family members, ones in the hospital. Pray for one another, our senior adults. We have so much to be thankful for. Be praying for those people that's lost. You know, I wish God would put somebody on every one of our hearts tonight to be praying for salvation. Just one person. Just be praying for that person to come to know Jesus. There's a lot of people on a church roll. But I tell you what, they need to know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. And we thank you tonight. We won't have a song tonight, but we just ask you to stand and be dismissed this hour. Appreciate it. Thank you for being